Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Oh yeah, we rolling. Level two, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Green Bay Packers victorious. They cover the number. Game goes over the number. So that's six straight primetime games that have gone over the number. 6-0 to start the season. Primetime games. Next primetime game up, Carolina and Houston. So, of course, head coach David Culley of the Houston Texans was asked after yesterday's game about the quarterback situation and if it was possible that Deshaun Watson could play this Thursday for the Houston Texans. And he said, we'll see. And clearly he was quickly shot down by ownership. And we said, we talked about this last night, like Culley wants to play him, right? Culley's the head coach. And obviously he wants Deshaun Watson to play. Yet it's just such a PR nightmare situation, and it's just so strange, never mind the fact that he wants out, and it's a very strange, unique situation that they're in. But we never thought that Deshaun was really going to play. It's going to be Davis Mills, rookie out of Stanford, that'll get the call. And it's interesting, the Carolina Panthers are one of five teams that are 2-0 against the spread to start the season, yet they're now laying 7.5, and I think this is an instance where the number is going to go up as well. So if you like the Houston Texans, I think we can wait this out. It might get to like 8, 8.5. Nobody's going to be lining up to take the Texans in this spot. Well, you know, it's early in the week right now. It's one of these games which, if it was on Sunday, we wouldn't bet it. But since it's Thursday Night Football, the question is, as I stated, the over is 6-0 in primetime games. Is this where we have our first under? Because everybody's going to ride that wave. Everybody's going to believe, yeah, all these games have gone over, but not this one. But let me remind you, everybody thought that Washington and the Giants last week would go under the number as well. So the total's 43.5 here. This is a difficult one, though, to see where the points are going to come from. Yet, we just saw Cleveland and Houston put up a ton of, you know, listen, Houston are 2-0 to the over. Like, right, that game, I lost money betting the under in Houston in week one against Jacksonville. I was on Houston. Houston are 2-0 to the over and 2-0 ATS. And they're getting 7.5 points on their home field. And people are talking about, yeah, but their quarterback. Yeah, but what? You know, I mean, it's not like Sam Darnold's great. I mean, people need to chill out. I don't know why the Saints sucked as hard as they did yesterday. They did. Evidently, well, I know why. They were without 8 coaches and like 3 starters on defense. But I'm not ready to anoint. You want to crown their ass? You crown their ass. I'm not ready to crown the Panthers' ass yet. So the Panthers lay 7.5 in that football game. Other point spreads that I can tell you, I put in a teaser already. I took the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals were -7, so I got the Cardinals down to a pick 'em. It's 7.5 now, and I got the Buffalo Bills when it was 8, 8.5, whatever the hell it was in the overnight hours. Whatever. That's the 7-point teaser. All right, so that's a 7-point teaser that I've already put in because I believe the numbers will only go up if you're a teaser player. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. We're kicking it on Sirius XM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, including the mightier 1090. Is basketball here yet? We're ready to rock. We're ready to dribble. We're ready to dunk. We're ready to start hitting it from the outside. College basketball, NBA basketball. We've already started putting in some NBA basketball futures. And You know, we've been very football heavy. We're going to talk some baseball tonight as well. George Kurtz will join us in a couple of moments. We'll step onto the diamond, but we'll talk football. And then we got Rick Saratella from the NFL Draft Bible, so we're not talking NHL hockey with Rick. But the NBA and the NHL are around the corner, so we're going to be adding some more sports to the rotation. And you know what? I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. So the Green Bay Packers victorious tonight. If you had Aaron Jones on your fantasy team, then you did pretty well. First player to score 4 touchdowns on Monday Night Football in 21 years since the man, the legend, the Hall of Famer, Marshall Faulk, did it. Green Bay Packers, is everything fine with the Packers right now? I don't know. I don't fully think so, but I should let you know, I'm not a Packer hater. And in fact, I got a lot of money on the Packers to win that division. Now, I do think they're going to win the division, yet they get San Francisco right now. And this is one fascinating thing about week 3 in the National Football League. A couple of early season tests. We're going to find out just how good these teams actually are. The Raiders have been the surprise story of the year so far. And let's be real. If they're able to beat the Miami Dolphins and win this game and get to 3-0, then that's real, right? That's real. Can they win this football game? The Denver Broncos. And the Broncos probably aren't losing to the New York Jets. Broncos are 10.5-point favorites. They could be 3-0. But obviously the game of the week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Los Angeles Rams. And, you know, we just had Mo Khan on with us earlier in Level 1. And something that he said just sort of rang a bell. Jalen Ramsey's one guy. And I don't know if Jalen Ramsey's tuning in right now. I doubt that he is. But that's probably a good thing because I don't want to upset him. But Jalen Ramsey's good, but dude, he's not, like, you know, invincible. He gets burnt all the time, and he just blames the referees or his teammates. Tom Brady's going to pick these guys apart. Matt Stafford's not beating Tom Brady. Tampa Bay's going to beat the Rams. Late Night Anger Management Class.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey. You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston.
Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Now, speak up, George. I can't hear you. You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston. Not as long as you bastards are running things.
George.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. It's the Monday Night Meltdown, Sirius XM Channel 204. Monday Night Football this evening. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers get back on track, although the game was closer than the final score would indicate. Jared Goff was great in the first half. He was terrible in the second half. Bad coaching decision to go for it. Wheels fell off after that, but we did escape with the teaser. Remember, we told you guys, too, and I didn't end up doing it because I'm an idiot, but it was pretty bold. I took the Lions tease to the over, but remember I said, should tease the Lions to the over and the Lions to the under and get the Lions at plus 19 and try to middle it and hit both teasers, and we would have. You get that nice 14-point window, and, of course, it lands at 52. Let's bring in George Kurtz right now, Sports Grid Radio Network, kicking it with us from Long Island, New York. George Kurtz, what's going on, George?
Yeah, interesting game tonight. I agree with you about the call there to go for it. I would have kicked the field goal as well. I guess it's the first, though, standalone game where we didn't have a fantastic finish, you know, and, where it didn't go right down to the edge.
That's a good point, but it was a little early to go to do that, wasn't it, George? I mean, your defense was playing well. It's 21-17. Make it 21-20, and you're still in it. And that way, hypothetically, you got to think about the worst-case scenario. So you got to think, all right, listen, we'll kick the field goal. Let's just say they go down the field and score. Hey, we're only down 28-20. We're down one score still. You don't pick it up. You're down 4. They score. You're down 11. It's lights out, game over. Like, You know, they, and the announcers talked over and over, well, there's not a fight, and, you know, Dan Campbell talks about there's not a lot of room for error. Well, whatever. You just, you know, that was on the coach. That's not on the players. That was a bad play call. It was a bad play call on top of it.
I think that was the worst part of it, was the play call. All right, I have no problem. I would have gone for it personally, but I have no problem with them going for it, but you can't call that play. And if you actually, if Goffer looked to his right, there was a man wide open for him.
I know.
To score there.
I know.
I would have run the ball. I think they said that on the telecast as well. Yeah, I would have
just could
have
QB sneaked
run the ball
it.
Down their throat. You know, I was fourth and two. I don't think I would have snuck it.
It was a long one, though. I know what you mean, but I would have done it. You could have got back to the line of scrimmage quickly type of thing. If you're going to do it, it's one of those deals where you make up your mind before, right? It was just too slow developing. And then in the play, or just smash it with Swift, who was, you know, who looked good. But tonight it was the Aaron Jones show. Four touchdowns for Jones tonight. And, well, whoever, basically, if you have Jones on your fantasy football team, you won. You probably won this week because of him tonight.
Three leagues were decided by Jones for me tonight. I had him in two, but I was against him in one. I'll take it. I'll take the 2-1 out of it. But, and it's funny, in two of them, I never even thought he would have, you know, I was something like 38 points out. He had 40 points. So I wasn't even expecting this to happen tonight. So I'll take it and run. I'll take the 2-1. But, yeah, there are a lot of people out there that are crying. I saw someone had a 57-point lead but was up against Jones and Hawkinson and lost. That's when I started drinking.
Hawkinson's money. And he's gone over his props in two straight games. But speaking of going over, how about this, George? So now six primetime games, six overs. Six overs with tonight's game. Every primetime game in the NFL has gone over. You talked about it. We didn't have that crazy dramatic ending to it, but it still went over the number.
So what do you make of that? A coincidence? Just four games, small sample size? Are they is the offense playing
six games, not four.
Primetime?
Six.
I mean, oh, that's right. I missed on forgetting the Thursday game. So you're right. So what do you make of it? Do you think is that something you're going to look for now, or is it just small sample size? I'm still going to take the games. Next Monday night's Dallas-Philadelphia. I expect that probably to go over.
And you got Green Bay and San Francisco on Sunday.
Not so sure I feel good about that.
And well, Carolina, did you feel good? Did you feel good? Did you feel good about Washington and the Giants going over last week?
No, I lost on that. So I never feel good about that.
So I'm sure you're thinking too. How is it possible that Houston and Carolina get to 44 points? Right?
No way. If they go with the rookie quarterback there, Deshaun Watson, they've already said it's not going to play. I would love to see Houston. By the way, they've got to be a little upset that the NFL won't put him on the administration leave. I know it's only one roster spot, but you got to carry him all year. I would love to see them call the NFL's bluff. Screw it. He's playing Thursday night. All right, we don't have Taylor. He's playing. And make the NFL force the NFL to suspend him or put him on the admin list. So I'm guessing the NFL told him, you know, hey, you're not doing that no matter what you do.
But I don't think so.
Houston call the NFL's bluffed.
I don't think so. I think I don't think Houston want people protesting outside their stadium.
He'd be suspended before that. There's no way the NFL would allow him to play.
They can't suspend him for what?
They put him on the admin list. They can do that.
Why haven't they already?
That's a damn good question.
Right?
Damn good. I think about everybody's wondering that, why they haven't done that already. You know, he's never going to play for Houston again anyway. He will be traded.
I think that's the deal.
In February.
I think that's another thing, too. I think if you're Houston, what do you have to gain from this? So you have a bunch of people protesting outside, and let's just say he goes out there and he breaks his leg. Like, you're not winning. You're not making the playoffs anyways with them, right? So it's like, all right, we have Deshaun Watson playing. We have, like, suddenly CNN and stuff are here. And we've got everyone flipping out. We're, like, the big cable news topic now. And we're not going anywhere anyways. And what if he gets hurt? We can't even trade the guy. I think Houston want to ride this thing out and trade him. I think they'd like to trade him before the trade deadline if they could. And I bet you other teams would. But it's this limbo. Like, dude. I went on a tirade about it last night. Like, make up your mind. Like, George, I believe, and I can't speak, and I'm not trying to discount any of the accusations and the victim stories, etc. But, I don't know, dude. It's been going on for, like, a year now, George. Like, they've done the investigation. If he hasn't been charged yet, like, this, you know, this isn't like a mob extortion case here, bro, where it's going to take years to figure out, like, you know, where the money went. Whatever. It's like, he said, she said, it is what it is. And I brought it up. What if he's innocent, George, and we've ruined this guy's career?
It's true. I mean, I hope he's innocent. I do. But 22 people accuse you, I'm going to have a hard time believing that.
How many people accuse Donald Trump?
Oh, we really got to get into this now? Isn't he guilty, too? I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying he was the president. Getting sued doesn't mean that you're guilty. That's my point.
No, absolutely. Of course not. And Bauer's not guilty either until that's proven. But I have a hard time believing that all 22, that something's not true. That being said, I truly hope he's innocent. I hope his career is not ruined because of this. Because I don't see any team, even if they could get a deal. We heard, about a month ago, that there were teams interested in dealing for him, but they wanted pick protection. In other words, we'll give you what you want. If he does get suspended, that first round turns into a third or whatever it might be.
That is true. I heard that, too, that there were two teams that said, listen, we'll do this, but if we're not getting the short end of this if the hammer comes down later in the year. And if you're Houston, you can't accept that. It's like, no, he's your problem now. That's the whole point of us wanting to trade him, George. So he's not our problem anymore. We're not going to trade him and then be on the hook for a suspension, George.
Exactly. And I don't blame Houston for doing that. They'll just wait and trade him when they can. I believe as far as the case is going, the women get interviewed next month, and then he gets interviewed in February. So that's the next two parts of the case. I don't think anything's going to happen until
by who?
So
who's he getting interviewed by? The
lawyers.
NFL?
The lawyers. I think the NFL has to wait till the end of that.
The lawyers.
I don't think the NFL can get in there until the end of that before they get to Watson. They're not going to be able to interview Watson before the lawyers do.
This thing can take 5 years. This thing can take 5 years.
I think it'll be over next offseason. That's what my guess is.
You're right.
Once
you're
the interviews
right.
happen, that's when it'll happen.
So he has a
I don't
lost
think he's
season.
Going to jail, by the way. I'd be shocked if he ever goes to jail. There'll be a settlement eventually.
He can't go to jail. You got to get charged with something to go to jail. Have we forgotten this? You need to be charged to go to jail, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the eventual outcome is going to be jail time out of any of this. I think there'll be a civil settlement somewhere. Maybe we hear about it, maybe we don't, and then everything moves on. He gets traded, and hey, kumbaya next year.
All right, George Kurtz with us getting fired up here. So George Kurtz probably in a decent mood tonight. His New York Yankees won, Blue Jays lost, Cowboys won. It's a good night, George. It's a good.
I'm in a decent mood.
You're on a little roll.
Yankees won. They weren't impressive, but they won. I'll take it.
What do you mean not impressive?
You guys. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Stupid horse! I got my last $10 on you! No! Don't look at me! Run! No! Don't come over here! Oh, boy.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Kicking it with George Kurtz in New York City. So, George, I saw you retweeted my tweet, or you saw my tweet. And I saw, what is that? What, it's that Uber Fax, Uber World Fax. And I don't know if anybody ever double checks these things, right? So I've got to question this one. So their fact was, if everyone in the world lives as densely as the residents of Manhattan, the entire population of the world could live in New Zealand.
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
I'm having a hard time. Like, how many people are in the world, George? Like 6 billion?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't exactly know how big New Zealand is, but that can't be true.
I don't know how many people are in the world now. I think it's like 6 billion in the world. How many people in the world?
You said something here as well. I mean, not all of Manhattan is packed.
Oh, it's nearly 8 billion. My bad. 7.8 billion. Wow. I'm surprised with COVID, there's this many still left.
Give it a month or two. Maybe
yeah, I was just saying, there's definitely about a million less, George. Right? Like we know that. So yeah, 7.8 billion people. There's no way in hell, George, is 7.8 billion people live in New Zealand? How's that possible?
No. I can't.
Countries in the world is just like USA, Canada, and Russia. Like, how big is New Zealand, bro?
I'm looking this up now. Biggest land mass countries.
Yeah, what's the biggest land mass? So like I said, it's like Russia, Canada, USA.
States. New Zealand's not even on here. Russia, US, China, Canada, Brazil, Australia, India, Argentina, Kazakhstan.
I didn't know Kazakhstan was that big either. I thought Canada had no idea.
But that's it.
There's no way in hell. How the hell can 7.8 billion people live in one place? I lived in Manhattan. You live in New York. It's not that dense. It's not people standing on top of each other. It's like, yeah, there's a lot of people crossing the street. There's a lot of people on the subway. It's not like you see in, like, you know, India when people are, like, hanging on the side of the train and stuff.
No, there's no way. You're going to have a hard time convincing me that the entire world's population could fit in New Zealand. No, that's just... Like I said, I don't know if anybody checks these facts. I don't know what they... I mean, literally, are we talking... If everybody just doesn't move, you can't move? Literally, you're standing back to back.
What, on top of each other?
Right. I mean, are we stacking people? I mean, no, there's no way that can be true. No way in hell.
Yeah, I'm calling the bluff. I'm calling the bluff. Greg says there's 4.9 million people in New Zealand. They got a lot of space then. If you can fit 7.8 billion there, and you're only 5 million of you, you can fit. So it's a lot of space. Yeah, I don't want to call this Twitter account out, but I don't buy it. Like I said, I don't know about their Uber facts. It doesn't sound very factual to me that 7.8 billion people can live in the
76 bigger countries. So they're 77th.
77th biggest country in the world can fit 8 billion people. 8 billion.
Nope.
Come on.
Are we including the 12 miles out to sea?
I mean, dude, bro, you want to talk about a congested city like Mexico City? They got like 40 million people there, bro. That's traffic. That's serious. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of people. But come on, Manhattan? As if all the people in Manhattan.
As you said, I'll call the bluff out here. Show me the aces.
I just wanted to get that off my chest, George. I saw that and I was like, "That's a pile. I don't believe it." I tweeted. I was like, "I don't believe that." I'm just calling it out like I see it. All right, so Dallas Cowboys. That game, I was on the air during the game, and I was on the pokes, so we cashed the ticket. But I had the over, and I had the game teased to the over, and it was a strange game, wasn't it? Because both teams went up and down the field, but neither team would convert. Well, I should say the Chargers went up and down the field and wouldn't convert. Dallas played well early offensively and then did nothing as the game went on. But we give them credit. They won the football game. And, you know, I talked about it on the air. The Cowboys' defense yesterday was bend but don't break. They made plays when they had to. That was a big-time win for Coach McCarthy, who hasn't had a lot of good luck since he's taken over this program. And now you set up shop Monday Night Football, a division game, a winnable division game, and you can potentially be 2-1 moving forward.
And that's exactly what the Cowboys wanted. I was actually doing the radio board during the show yesterday, and you hit it right. I think it was you and Holden offhand. And, yeah, they were bend, but they were both teams, actually. You could do whatever you want between the 20s, and we'll buckle down from there. That's really what it was there. The officiating was terrible, really, for both sides.
Flag fest.
More against the Chargers. It was hard to watch. If I wasn't a Cowboy fan, it would have been one of those games like, you know what, I'm switching TVs here. I can't take this anymore. Because they were, 30 flags in the game. It was just nuts. You couldn't do anything without seeing a yellow hanky on the field. Corrente's crew, I guess, once again, I don't know if they're trying to keep things in check or what, but it was bad. But as a fan, I mean, they probably should have beaten Tampa Bay and lost to the Chargers. That's really how it should have worked.
I can live with that, yeah.
Either way, hey, 1-1, I'll take it.
Hey,
you know, that's all I want.
At Tampa, at Los Angeles, 1-1, George, is all you could ask for, right?
Damn right. Now we have what? We haven't played a home game yet, so the schedule does get easier from here on out. You mentioned the Cowboys play Philadelphia in Texas next Monday night. You win that game, hey, you're in great shape here. A lot of injuries. I was surprised they were able to win yesterday. No Gregory, no DeMarcus Lawrence. I thought, once again, Micah Parsons was fantastic. Think about it.
Hey, I told you guys before the year, George, I said this kid's a stud. I don't know why the Giants didn't take him. You would have had your new LT.
I just couldn't think about what it's. Listen, kid, I know you only played one NFL game and you're a linebacker, but play a defensive end on Sunday. Do you mind? Okay, go do that for us. And he was great. He was absolutely great. If Herbert wasn't a mobile quarterback, I think Parsons would have had 3-4 sacks. He was in there a lot. Herbert was just able to escape some of those pressures. So good.
He's a fast kid, Parsons.
He is. He's immensely fast. That kid can run. I think Dallas had themselves a defensive rookie of the year going here. So if they stay healthy or healthier than they have been, they will get two guys back this week. Gregory is already back. They should get the safety, Dorian Thompson, back. Granted, he doesn't mean much. Dallas has ignored safety since Roy Williams. So things will get better here. But no DeMarcus Lawrence till maybe November. No Malik Collins probably till the end of October.
I don't want to, you know, I don't want to hurt myself patting myself on the back here. And saying, well, I told people, but I was all over the Micah Parsons train coming into this, and it's just comical, George, to see the pre-draft stuff about character issues and there was this and incidences and people, and then you put people on the spot. So what did he do? What happened? They don't know. Well, I heard there's right? And there was the other one. I don't know if you've seen Russo on the Bills, defensive lineman out of Miami. Same thing. When he got drafted, I saw these draft grades. Oh, D, you know, this kid, he doesn't finish plays. He gets to the quarterback, but he doesn't sack them. He's fast. He opted out last year. Have to question why he opted out last year. He opted out last year because his mother's a nurse. And COVID was like rampant in his family, but jackasses in the media who were pretending they know things don't want to talk about that. But it's just funny. There's this kid, you know, wrecking havoc in the National Football League already. And you know, it's just funny the backtracking. And same with Micah Parsons. Watch how many jackasses in the media are going to talk about how great Micah Parsons were when these were the same people that said they wouldn't draft him. And the best is, George, the New York Giants talked about it. It was in the New York Post, unnamed Giant sources. They really like Parsons. They're kicking the tires on him, but they have concerns. And then they turn around, they draft a kid out of Florida, bro, who got, like, suspended, is always late, is like he's already bitching as a kid. I don't know what the hell the Giants are doing. I know you're not a Giant fan, but you're in New York. Like, you know, it's like everyone, their plan is just whack. Daniel Jones played well last week, and they still lost the damn game.
Yeah, Giants, they had a tough training camp, right? All the injuries. All right, Buckley, we don't, yeah, he barely took contact until the last week of camp. Galladay was hurt. Tony, he barely played here. The offensive line has issues here. Daniel Jones hasn't been the problem. Yes, I know he fumbled against Denver on that scramble there. Hopefully he doesn't keep doing that, but he played very well against Washington. They should have won that game. Slayton dropped that ball. It may have been a tick overthrown, but he dropped that ball, and yep. I don't know how you feel about that guy, whether he was offsides or not. I mean, different replays seem to show.
That's garbage, too. Hey, I know.
he looks offside. This maybe the second, manipulated the ball a little bit that drew him off the offsides there. But then again, both officials threw a flag there, so you're not going to get away with that. But it was a tough loss. But I think it's going to be a tough season for the Giants. I think there's still a work in progress here. I think what concerns me about the Giants more than anything else is the defense. You know, I thought this defense was. I'm not saying they were great last year, but they were good, solid defense. They have not been that through the first two games.
George Kurtz kicking it with us. So what do you think about the Giant game? What do you think about this this Giant game against the Falcons? I don't want to say it's a must-win, but it kind of is. Like, this is a referendum on Joe Judge, all right? Like, at some point, all the press conferences and tough guy act and stuff only go so far. You got to win a football game.
As you said, I don't want to say it as a must-win in week three, but you lose to the Falcons, who may be one of the worst teams in football at home, and you're 0-3 now. Your season's not done, but it's damn close to it. So this is a must-win, because if not, the media's going to turn on
you. You know how things snowball in New York, George. You know how things snowball, right? 0-3. Like, they're already coming after Wilson already. The honeymoon's over with the Jets.
Media frenzy. They're going to feed it.
Well, that's what happens. Hey, kid, you want to take pics of yourself in the mirror? Don't throw so many pics on the field. George Kurtz, let's talk baseball on the other side. Bring it. Hey.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
And you know what? It'll be nice having a little extra cash to bet on college football.
Yeah, I'd like to bet $100.
You want to pick a team?
No, just take it.
Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. Let's talk baseball. George Kurtz with us. George, we'll talk American League baseball in a couple of moments. But looking at the updated National League standings right now, as far as the wild card is concerned, I was discussing this last night with Jason B. Takafin, one of our regular baseball guests. And I said, it's starting to look like a wrap, bro, with the St. Louis Cardinals wrapping up this wild card. Right? It's going to be Los Angeles or San Francisco. And, you know, Cincinnati is now three games back of the St. Louis Cardinals. San Diego is four games back. Philadelphia, 4.5 back. And then the Mets, whatever, 7.5 back. I don't know. I don't see St. Louis blowing this lead right now down the stretch. They have the winning pedigree. They have a lot of talent. And they're peaking at the right time right now, George.
They've won 9 straight games with that rotation. How is that possible? I mean, really, I know they can hit. I have no problem with their offense, but Lester, Happ, Wainwright has found the fountain of youth, or he sold his soul to the devil. I don't know.
A lot like San Francisco, isn't it? Older pitchers that nobody really wants or believe in.
But at least the San Fran guys, you know, they throw hard somewhat. These guys are all junk ballers, you know. And I mean, Happ was getting destroyed. Lester was getting destroyed. You tell me when they made this trade.
I know.
You talked about this. I destroyed this trade. What? Okay, Happ, what are you doing here? And I know that these ones pitch great here, but they've sort of stabilized things. More power to them. I mean, really, you said it. It's an organization that knows how to win, and they've done great. They've won 9 straight. They're not backdooring it in. The Cincinnati Reds, the Padres, Phillies, and somewhat they keep losing to bad teams, but the Cardinals taking advantage of it. They're not losing to anybody. 9 straight wins. Go Cards.
So it looks like, guys, this is going to be the setup. It's going to be the St. Louis Cardinals, and I guess they'll go with Wainwright, right?
Have to.
It'll be Wainwright at Los Angeles or at San Francisco.
They said even if Flaherty comes back, he'll come back as a reliever, not as a starter.
Especially, though, and I guess this depends, right? But at this rate, if you're the Cardinals, don't take the pedal off the metal, set this up. You can go into the final sort of few days and set it up. You can set the rotation up, right? All right, Adam, you can sit here. That's the benefit if they can build a little cushion going into the final weekend of play.
Yeah, right. And so, I mentioned before the Yankees may not be able to do that with Cole because they may have to play till the final
game. They might need that game, right, with Cole at the end.
Boston with Chris Sale. Yeah, with the Cardinals, they have a cushion right now. And they keep it up, that cushion can extend even further here, and they can set up Wainwright to be that guy. Yeah, where make sure he gets the days over, he's lined up where he pitches, I don't know, the Tuesday before the season ends, and he's good to go for the whatever the wild card is, the Tuesday or the Wednesday after. So I expect them to do that if they haven't already done it. I haven't checked that far ahead to see if Wainwright is lined up for it. But with this 3-game lead, they should be able to do that very well. Yankees and Red Sox, maybe not so much.
I hope the Dodgers don't end up in this spot. But it'd be a hell of a game, huh? Cardinals, Dodgers, Max Scherzer, Wainwright. If it was. And as you stated, George, I sort of want it with you, too. And it's not going to happen in the National League, but in the American League. I'd like to, if it just was chaos and there was a bunch of teams tied, right? But it'll even itself out. But we still do have quite a race. It was a big night tonight, though, because the Blue Jays losing and the Yankees winning is big because the Yankees were a game and a half back at a wild card. There's a big difference between 2.5 and 1.5 and a half back. So as it is now, the wild card in the American League, the Boston Red Sox are up 1.5 games. So they've got a little bit of a mini cushion, and the Red Sox get the Mets and the Yankees this week. So they're up 1.5. Toronto Blue Jays are up 0.5 a game on the New York Yankees. So in other words, there's two spots for the Boston Red Sox, Toronto Blue Jays, New York Yankees, and here are the Oakland Athletics right now, George, just 2 games back, and they're sort of a resilient team like St. Louis. They're not done yet either.
No, it's all going to go down. It always comes down to who wants it or who's playing each other, too.
Well, that's the thing, George, I want to say. Oakland play Houston in the final weekend of the season.
Will he and be there? Probably not.
That's what I'm saying. If Houston has the first place wrapped up, they could have their own issues, and they'd be like, whatever, man. We're resting everybody, and we're setting our rotation up for the playoffs.
Which is what they should do. All right, that's what you absolutely should do here. Because once again, they don't care who gets in. I mean, I guess they could be fighting for first overall, but I think Tampa pretty much has that locked up.
Yeah, but they don't. Oakland
fighting for.
Oakland and Houston don't like him. Well, I know no one likes Houston, but they really don't like each other. So Houston might say, you know what? Screw Oakland. Let's knock them out. We don't want them in the playoffs. Do you want the Yankees, the Red Sox? That's the whole thing. Like, if you're one of these teams, you start trying to pick your poison?
The thing is, though, I think they know if the Yankees or Red Sox will play Tampa Bay. So are they going to get past that? But I don't see Oakland being a factor anyway. Oakland plays Seattle the next three. Then they play Houston the next three. That's Seattle again, then Houston. They have the toughest schedule by far. No matter what you think about Seattle, they're a decent team. They lost tonight to them. They're not going to go out there and win the next three or win six out of the next.
No, they're only three back, Seattle. Seattle aren't done yet either.
They're in it too. But that's also bad because those teams are going to knock each other out, right? There's six games of Seattle and Oakland left. And unless one team goes 5-1, which is really difficult to do, almost impossible, I'm not worried about that. You mentioned Boston. You got the Mets. Mets have seemed to find ways to lose. Then they got the Yankees. Yankees have not done all that great against Boston this year. Yankees haven't trouble beating anybody this year. So let's see what Boston can do when they play Baltimore for three. And their last six games are against Baltimore and Washington. Granted, it's on the road. It's in Camden. It's in Washington, but still. Anybody think that's not a huge advantage there? So I think Boston's going to end up pulling it out over the Yankees, Oakland, and Seattle. Schedule tells me so.
The Yankee schedule isn't overly friendly down the stretch, is it?
No. That sort of like Oakland plays Houston the last game. I think the Yankees played Tampa Bay the last game.
Yep.
So Tampa Bay could say, do we really want to play Boston or we want to play the Yankees? You know what? We'll take our chance with Boston, and then play everybody against the Yankees or vice versa. Oh, we'd rather have the Yankees.
George, the last nine games, for the Yankees.
Don't depress me.
Three at Boston, three at Toronto, and then you host Tampa for three.
Yeah, they're not getting
it. That's a bitch, bro, the last nine games of the season.
They deserve it. They just lost two out of three to Cleveland. You can't beat Baltimore. I think Baltimore has something like 18% of their wins this year come against the Yankees. Right? The Yankees no one to blame but themselves for the Yankees. Take care of your business.
They have lost to a lot of bad teams over the last couple of weeks, haven't they?
They're just not playing well, good baseball. They're not hitting. It's really been the same thing all year long. They're just not hitting. You know, I mentioned tonight, they won 4-3. They scored four runs in the first two innings, and that was it. No, also the offense just goes dry. And it's what the Yankees, I'm not on the Yankees, but as Yankee fans, what you see all the time with this team. And you said it, they've lost to a lot of so bad teams. They seem to, and especially in their own division, they don't play well against their division at all. The only team they have a winning record against in the division is the Orioles. Losing record versus Boston, losing record versus the Rays, losing record versus the Blue Jays. No way they're going to do well in those last nine games.
So the Blue Jays lost tonight to the Rays with Robbie Ray on the hill. What do you think of the Jays? Are you buying in? Do you think the Jays are going to be one of the two teams that make it?
I do. I think they may be the top team that makes it, but I think they get in either way. And I think the Jays, if they can just get past the wild card, because if you get in, I assume that means you're going up against Chris Sale. Right? I mean, there it is. Yeah, okay, I assume it's going to be Robbie Ray versus Chris Sale, assuming both these teams can line it up correctly.
You want to get home field somehow for that. If you're the Jays, you don't want to go to Fenway. Get it in Toronto.
Damn right. So that'll be massive. Well, if the Jays can get in, I'll tell you, assuming Ryu is going to be healthy, which I think he will be by the playoffs. Ryu, Berrios, Ray.
Yeah, but they would have to play Tampa too, right?
Yes. And that's pain in the ass. It's no fun either. No matter which team comes out of the out of the wild card, you're playing Tampa, and that team just seems to know how to win. You saw where they bring up Shane Baz today, their top prospect, and that guy's lightning. He's going to be a damn good pitcher. The Rays are a very annoying team and an annoying organization because they know how to play the game. They know how to bring up. They know how to develop their prospects.
So these are the updated World Series odds right now at FanDuel. Los Angeles Dodgers +270. Houston Astros +480. Tampa Bay Rays +700. San Francisco Giants +750. Chicago White Sox +750. Milwaukee Brewers +850. Atlanta Braves 16-1. Boston Red Sox 20-1. Toronto Blue Jays 20-1. New York Yankees 23-1. St. Louis Cardinals 42-1. Now, I already have the Dodgers at +320. I was thinking, should you know, and I wanted to get a piece of an American League team or two here to try to potentially, you know, have both teams going into the World Series here. 7-1's not terrible with Tampa, George, I don't think. What do you think of these odds? And are you, would you throw a dart with the St. Louis Cardinals at 42-1? What do you think of the baseball futures right now?
Oh, I don't think the Cardinals have a snowball's chance in hell. But that being said, 42-1, yeah, you want to throw $10, $20, $25 on it? Why not? See what happens. Maybe get lucky here. But I don't think so. I don't think they'll, if they play with Dodgers, I certainly don't think they'll win. I think they'd have a chance against the Giants. And I would feel bad, by the way, for the Dodgers or Giants, who've had massive great seasons, and you may have one game and you're done.
You imagine you finish 50 games over 500 and your season's over after one loss?
I'd flip. 3 hours, you're done. Nope, bye. Because Wainwright pitches a gem. Or, you know, a bull hits a base and they score a couple of runs. That would just drive, it would drive me insane. I would like the wild card to be 2 out of 3 games, sort of alleviate that.
Yeah.
That happening. Once again, I want the best teams to go on here. I think it's going to be, I still think it's the Dodgers. I think they're the best team in the National League, although I think it's tough because I think Milwaukee with those starting pitchers, if they get hot at the right time, they're dangerous. And maybe the Dodgers, like I said, Scherzer versus Wainwright, maybe the Dodgers go home and it's really wide open there. And the American League, I think the White Sox are in trouble. I think they.
I don't buy exactly.
They've had it wrapped up so long, and they're having trouble now. They even, I think LaRusso admitted it weeks ago. I hope these guys can get pumped up for the playoffs again. I think it's very tough to flip that switch for them. So I don't think they're going to go very far at all. And as much as we all hate Houston, they're the deepest team. We know they can hit. They've got maybe not ace starting pitching, but they've got starting pitching up the wazoo with all these guys here. I think it's I think about 6 weeks ago on this show, that Tampa Bay won't be the team. Somehow I got a funny feeling that they are going to be the team to go again. I think if I had to bet, give me Tampa, L.A.
George Kurtz kicking it with us. What do you make of the Cy Young? Is it a wrap? You know what I mean? It's been going back and forth right now with Robbie Ray and Gerrit Cole. Robbie Ray started the... No, will you give it to Robbie Ray?
I think it has to be Ray. All right, once again... Cole came up. The Yankees really needed an ace performance yesterday.
That Sunday loss, it was bad. Right. Yeah,
and he was terrible. They needed that. Against Cleveland, you needed that game. I know the Cy Young shouldn't come down to one game, but these are important games. And yes, Ray didn't pitch great tonight, but he wasn't terrible tonight. You know?
No, he wasn't bad. You can't blame him. When's Cole pitch again? Is he against the Red Sox, I would assume?
He's against the Red Sox. And that might be a sweep where the Yankees have to sweep that. And if he pitches a gem there and the Yankees get back in it, we can talk about this next Monday. But right now, I think it's Robbie Ray.
So the updated...
massive contract.
The division odds. Yeah, I know. The division. So Simeon. So the National League West right now, George. San Francisco Giants are up a game. Minus 115, Dodgers minus 105. I've got the Dodgers to win this division, and I think they're going to stalk them down. I think they're finally going to stalk them down. What do you think happens? Who do you think wins that division?
Well, I got the Dodgers also, so I'm rooting for the Dodgers big time here because I got a decent amount of scratch on this. I thought San Fran would always fall apart. Yeah, okay, they'll come back. My fall apart, I just mean, wouldn't play as well here. So I was just shocked. Dodgers schedule here? Come on, Colorado, Arizona, San Diego, Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not doing anything the last three games of the season.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Again, that's 800-515-6341.
When you need information,
you go to an expert.
Not just anybody, but someone who's been right on the money before.
So when it comes to gaming,
odds,
and more,
you've come to the right place.
You're listening
to the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Oh, yeah. Level 2 continues. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Rick Saratella is going to join us at Level 3. Eagles, Cowboys, George Kurtz, Captain Cowboy, kicking with us right now. Sports Grid Radio Networks. And you talk about that schedule, George. Cowboys get the Eagles. Then it's Panthers at Cowboys. Then Giants at Cowboys before the Cowboys go to Foxborough. But it's an opportunity for the Cowboys to go on a little bit of a run. So great time of the sports year right now, isn't it, George? I've always loved, it's always my favorite time of the year, actually, in the sports world. The end of September, going into October, that crossover, you know, you got football and you've got the baseball playoffs. But due to the pandemic, sort of setting all the leagues into like their schedules all being thrown out of sync, we're going to have a night, George, in October, bro, when everything is going to be going on. There's going to be NHL hockey, NFL football, NBA basketball, and Major League Baseball playoff baseball going on at once. You can throw in MLS soccer if you want. Like, we're literally going to have every sport, every league going on at once at certain times in October coming up for a couple of weeks. It's going to be awesome.
And we'll love every damn minute of it. Every day, and as you said, it's my favorite week of the the sports year is generally the first week in October. This year, the second week in October, for what you said, be about week four, week five in football. Hockey is just starting, and baseball probably about a week into their playoffs, the divisional round here. It's just a great time for sports.
And just so for the record, guys, the baseball playoff schedule, the wild card games start on Tuesday, October the 5th. Tuesday, October the 5th. And man, you gotta love all day baseball. Elimination baseball at that. All right, we'll wrap up with Kurtz on the other side. I just want to get a couple of quick hockey takes. Bring it.